Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone with me. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair for joining us for our Wednesday night halaqa. So if you don't know, here in Arlington, Texas, alhamdulillah, we have this halaqa every Wednesday night. And alhamdulillah, it's been an amazing, amazing program. We have it on Qalam's campus. And some of the young brothers and sisters from around the community, Dallas area, come to the halaqa. And we've been studying various books together, just different books for the last like year and a half. And alhamdulillah, it's been very, very, very beneficial for all of us, alhamdulillah. So since COVID started, well, obviously we're not on campus anymore. And we hadn't had our halaqa in a very long time. If you guys look back at our podcast, the last one that we were doing was Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala's Masalik al-Jinan, which is just a masterpiece poem on Islamic spirituality written by an amazing Senegalese scholar, just an amazing individual with mountains of knowledge. He wrote this amazing poem that we were studying, Masalik al-Jinan. The podcast is called Paths to Paradise. So you could check that out, alhamdulillah. And so now finally, by the grace of Allah and Allah's tawfiq, we are able to now kick off our next series, which is a book written by an amazing scholar. The scholar is Ibn al-Qayyim. Ibn al-Qayyim, or Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, as he's known. We did one of his books before, and I'll just give a brief introduction to who he is. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah was born around 691 Hijri. And he passed away in around 751, which is close to roughly like 1350 in our calendar, Gregorian calendar. And he was just a polymath. He was just a scholar of so much ulum that whenever he would write books, those books almost become like encyclopedic in their nature. There's just so much knowledge wrapped up in them. And so he actually spent the last 15 years of Ibn Taymiyyah's life, rahimahullah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah was his closest student. He spent direct time with him for the last 15 years. And it kind of just goes to show the kind of dedication that students of knowledge had back in the day to one teacher and spending time with that teacher and truly absorbing the knowledge that could be passed from one heart to the next heart. And so here we're starting. If you're with us, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're everywhere. If you're on anywhere but Instagram, you'll be able to see the book as we read through it. I have the Arabic text shared on the screen with me. And the way we normally did these halakas is just, see, the scholars of Islam have left us just amazing works. They've left us works of art that just, if we just open them and kind of peruse through them, we find things that just will fulfill that need, whether it be academically or spiritually or both, within our heart when it comes to our Islamic knowledge. And so my method is that we would read through these books and just kind of try to understand what the author was saying as we were reading them. And that way, you know, I love for people to get connected to our scholars, to the tradition that we have. And so that's the way this halaqa goes. So every Wednesday night, inshallah ta'ala, 7:30, we'll be studying Tariqul Hijratain wa Babu Sa'adatain by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And I encourage you to either join me on YouTube or join me on Facebook so that you can actually see the book as we're going through it, inshallah ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, his name is, the name he's known as is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, which is pretty interesting because the name translates as the son of the principal of Jawziyyah. And so basically he was the son of the principal of a well-known school at that time. Muhyiddin started that school, and that school was his father was the principal. So he became known as the principal's son, so to speak. And so that's what he's known as till today. And again, he's left many books for us to study. This book particularly, Tariq al-Hijratain, it's a very special book because the topic in this book, based on the title of the book, is the method or the path of the two migrations. And so what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, what he attempts to do in this book is show a pathway for the reader to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very beautiful. He begins this book with an entire section just on an Arabic term called faqr. And the Arabic word faqr means to be completely dependent or in need, and the idea comes from the Quranic verse, Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O humanity, you are indeed all fuqara, faqir, poor, in need, dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-ghaniyul hamid. Indeed, Allah is the only one that is free of need. So he begins, and we're going to actually study this today, inshallah. He begins this book by just going into our need, our dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he ends it, the last chapters, if we get there. I mean, it's a massive book, but I have intention to read as much of it as we can, inshallah ta'ala. The last part of the book is amazing because he goes through the levels of Jannah and the levels of hellfire, the darajat and the darakat, the levels, like who's on level one, who's on level two, who's on level three. It's a very beautiful work where he kind of depicts what type of believers are at this level, at that level, at that level. And then he also goes down as well, like in Jahannam, na'udhu billah min dhalika. It's an amazing work by an amazing scholar. So I'm really excited to start this with you guys, alhamdulillah. And so the method is I'm just going to be reading on the screen. You can see the book. I'm just going to be reading through it. And as we read through it, then we'll just be taking like a moment to pause and look over what the author is communicating to us, right? All right, so let's begin, inshallah. I'm really hyped about this one, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas and sincerity. I'm going to begin this with a dua that all of my halaqa begin with. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. Oh Allah, we ask you for your love. Ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those who love you, and we ask you for the love of those actions that you love. Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ameen, inshallah ta'ala. So let's begin, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi nasab al-kainati ala rububiyatihi wa wahdaniyatihi hujajan wa hajab al-uqula wal-abasara an tajida ila kayfihi manhajan وأوجب الفوز بالنجاة لمن شهد له بالوحدانية شهادة لم يبغي لها عوجا وجعل لمن لاذ به واتقاه من كل ضائقة مخرجا وعقب من ضيق الشدائد وضنك الأوابد لمن توكل عليه فرجا وجعل قلوب أوليائه متنقلة في منازل عبوديته من الصبر والتوكل والإنابة والتفويض والمحبة والخوف والرجاء. So this is the first paragraph. This, when traditional scholars wrote their introductions, they always began with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't just like start off with like alhamdulillah and then start the book. They would always start off with alhamdulillah and praise Allah in relation to the topic that they're going to be talking about, right? So like, here in this example, since this book is meant to be like a pathway through the stages of spiritual development, he specifically like praises Allah and highlights those aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are related to the topic of his book. So let's translate this. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has established proofs in his creation, proofs for his divinity and his oneness. And all praise to the one who has blocked the intellects and the abasar, the eyes, from having a pathway to knowing his modality, to knowing how he is. And all praise to Allah, the one who has made it necessary to gain success for the one who witnesses, for the one who witnesses the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَعْلَ لِمَنْ لَاذَ بِهِ وَاتَّقَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضَائِقِ مَخْرَجَ. And he has made, and all praise to the one who has made anyone who turns to Allah, fears Allah, he has made for that person a way out every tight situation. And all praise to the one who has given protection from every difficulty. وَذَنْكِ الْأَوَابِدْ لِمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَيْهِ فَرَجًا. And anyone who has trusted upon him, given them a way out from the wilderness. وَجَعَلَ. And then this is the main part. He goes, and all praise to the one who has made the hearts of his selected people, his selected servants, مُتَنَقِلَةً, constantly progressing from stages of servitude, from sabr, patience, to tawakkal, to trusting, to inaba, repentance, to tafweed, complete dependence, wal muhabba, love, wal khawf, fear, wal raja, and hope. So in this introduction, what he's basically doing is, first thing he says, which is really interesting, his first sentence is like, yo, look around you. Look around you. If you need proof that Allah is one and that Allah exists, just look around you. He says, Nasaba hujajan. He has established and set up proofs all around you. And so, like, I think it's super important for us to, like, often just put down technology and just, like, go for a walk, go to the beach, like, see the sunset, look at the clouds, like, look at all of these things, because these are the things directly establish as proofs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. And then he says, like, Allah has established these proofs, but then right after that, Ibn Qayyim, he says, but he's blocked our intellects and our eyes from seeing or knowing his modality, like how he is. So it's crazy, because it's like, you look at this sunset, man. Yo, down here in Dallas, like, sometimes the sunsets are just beautiful, man. And so sometimes you're looking at the sunset, man, and you're like, subhanAllah, like, that there is the proof. But my mind is like, what is Allah like? And right there, what he's saying is, wa hajaba, Allah has put a hijab there. You can't see that. It's blocked. You can't see that, right? Your intellect, your aql can't see it, and your abasad can't see that. But then he goes next, which is, the next thing he says is, but Allah has made it necessary that the ones who will be successful are those who witness. See, the word shahida, like, it's deep, because shahida means to witness something. And you got to be present to witness things. You got to be there. You got to be present to witness something. And so one of the things that's key that we're missing in our time is that presence of mind, right? As we're seeing these amazing things, you know, you see a child smile, you see, you know, so many things throughout the day. If you're just present when you see them, then it could be a moment for you to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope y'all feel me on that one, man, because it's about being present so that you could be a witness to something. And then now what he does next from this point on, right? What he does next from this point on is kind of say, like, what has Allah done for certain people? And he says, anyone that is turned to Allah and feared Allah and just connected to Allah, Allah has made a way for them out of every tough situation, every hardship, every dhunk just means when you just feel like, ah, there's no way to go. He's like, whoever has trusted upon Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a way out for that person. وَجَعَلَ قُلُوبٍ. And then this is the climax of this first paragraph. He's like, and he has also made the hearts of his beloveds constantly moving from stage to stage. Now, I want to explain this real quick, because one of the things that you have to understand is as you get deeper in Islamic spirituality and as you get more ta'alluq with Allah, connection with Allah, then it's like each stage you have to learn another thing that you need to perfect and to build within the character. And what happens is in the community, many times you and your best friend may be on different stages on that level. You may be at the stage of love and they may be at the stage of fear right now, but we're all perfecting each level so that we can move on to the next level. You guys get what I'm saying on? That's very important, because like once you start down that path, then you're going to realize there's different stages that I have to master almost. And as I master them, then I'm moving on to the next one. And you know what, subhanAllah, what's crazy is sometimes when you get to a higher level, one of the higher levels will be like, yo, you know, level 3? Yeah, you got to drop that right now. You got to forget about that for a moment. What? I had to get level 3 to go to level 4, so to speak, right? But it's like, nah, as you progress, you're at a different level right now. Let me give you an example. One of the words he used here is a word called tafweed. Tafweed in Arabic, it's in the Quran. Wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was like, I give everything over to Allah. The word tafweed is like to completely let go of something, right? And tafweed is a higher level because it's not just tawakkal, it's like completely letting go. Ibn Atta'illah al-Askandari, he has a book on tafweed that's just amazing. But the interesting thing about tafweed is it comes later on the stages of spiritual development and spiritual maturity. And we all know the hadith, like, i'kal wa tawakkal, like, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, right? Cross your T's, dot your I's. We all understand, take care of what I got to take care of. But when a person reaches the subject or the level of tafweed almost teaches a person just let go and let God. Let go and let God. But someone at the early stage is like, no, you can't do that. We're supposed to tawakkal, but do this. You're like, all right, yeah, you're at that stage. Cool, alhamdulillah. Master that stage. And then, you know, as we progress, we'll see what happens. You got everyone with me, inshallah ta'ala? All right. Yo, the halakha is different now because I can't see people's faces in front of me. So it's like a different vibe. I'm going to try to keep it like it normally is. And inshallah, it's just as beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. All right, let's keep going to the next paragraph. The author, he says, rahimahullah, فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ أَفَاضَ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ نِعْمَةً وَكَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةً. He says, glory be to the one who has showered upon his creation blessings. وَكَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةً. And glory be to the one who has written upon himself mercy. Mercy. See, that's something we really got to focus on, because sometimes we get so caught up in our sins. Sometimes we get so caught up in the evil that we're doing that we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained or written mercy upon himself. And what that means, written mercy upon himself, simply means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kataba ala nafsihi rahma, that his mercy shall overtake his wrath. And so the reason why that's important is because sometimes you can focus so much on the negativity that you lose the willpower to push forward because there's no hope. I'm a lost soul. I'm done. But you should never. That's وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah says, none loses hope in the mercy of Allah except someone who has disbelieved. وَضَمَّنَ الْكِتَابَ الَّذِي كَتَبَهُ أَنَّ رَحْمَتَهُ تَغْلِبُ غَضَبَ. And he has guaranteed it written that in the book that has been written that his mercy shall overcome his wrath. وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ نِعْمَةً. And he has like asbagha, you know the word asbagha? Asbagha means like to paint, right? Like sibagha, like to completely cover something in a color, right? Wa asbagha ala ibadihi ni'mahu al-furada wa tu'ama. He has like completely dipped us in blessings, the individual and the joined blessings. So there's individual blessings and then joined blessings as well. And then look what he says next. And then he has subjugated to them. He's talking about us, to me and you. and he has subjugated to them the land, the sea. I mean, look how we use land for our own benefit. Look how we use it to grow things. You know me with the garden, alhamdulillah. Look how we use land for our own benefit. Bahar, look how we use the sea to trade and to bring things from here to there. And subhanAllah, washamsa wal qamar. Look how we use those for time, right? How would we keep track of time? But the system that Allah has created, that these keep time just for you. Wal layla wan nahar, day and night are for you. Wa uyun wal anhar, the fountains and the rivers for you. وَالْضَيَاءَ وَالْضَلَامِ, and light and darkness for you, both of them. Both of them. See, what he's trying to show you is like many blessings are not blessings by themselves, but they're a pair. Day and night, light and darkness, land and sea. You know, like these are paired blessings. Amazing. وَأَرْسَلَ, and subhanAllah, the amazing thing about that is, like, you wouldn't even know the other one if the other one was absent. Subhanallah. Wa arsala ilayhim rusula. And he sent his messenger to them. Messengers. Wa anzala alayhim kutub. Sent down his books. Wa yadu'uhum ila jawarihi fi dar al-islam. And he called them. He called them to his neighborhood, to his company in the abode of peace, paradise. Allah says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ, whoever Allah wishes to guide, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, Allah opens this person's chest, this person's heart is opened to submission to Allah, submission to the deen. وَمَنْ يُرِدَ أَنْ يُذِلَّهُ, and whoever Allah wills or wishes to misguide. And I want to explain that. What does it mean that Allah misguide someone? Well, what we understand is our deen is all about being a mukallaf, or being responsible. And so whatever you choose to do, Allah gives you and lets you go that way. So when it says, when yurid an yudhillahu, whoever Allah allows to just go astray, like you chose it, go, all right, go. You go that way, you go this way. Which one you want to go? Yaj'al sadra. So the one he allows to go astray, يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this person's heart very tight. حَرَجَ, very, very constrained. It doesn't want to accept anything in it. So he says, فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ أَنْزَلَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. He says, glory be to the one who sent down the book on his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. وَرَفَعَ لِمَنْ اِعْتَمَّ بِهِ, and he has lifted those who put the Quran as a guide for them. فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ, those who make the halal, make that which they make halal, what it makes halal. وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَ, and they make haram, which that which it makes haram. Meaning like our moral compass, guys, our moral compass is set to the prophetic north. You feel me? The moral compass is set to the prophetic north. So if society tells me that's north, that's the right way, I'm looking at my compass and I'm like, nah, y'all, I'm good. I'm going that way right there. And many times, I know that analogy is interesting, because many times when you follow that prophetic compass, it's going to feel like you swimming upstream, like salmon swimming upstream. Everybody's going that way, you going this way. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's trying to free the nafs. Everyone's trying to free the self, liberate the self, and you find liberation through subduing the self. Y'all feel me on that? Hold on. Everyone else is finding liberation or freedom through freeing the self to do what it likes. But what we learn is no, freedom will truly come when you subdue the self and don't be a slave to the self anymore. Swimming upstream, prophetic north, prophetic north. وَوَضَعَ مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has humiliated مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ, those who turn away from him, disgrace them. You know, I was thinking about this thing, and Allah has disgraced those who turn away. You know what I was thinking about this? This is deep, because you see people who turn away from Allah, they got mad clout on social media and stuff. They have a lot of clout on social media and stuff. So I'm like, isn't that like Rafa? But then I'm like, wait, if you get raised up. Oh, I think I skipped one liner, but I'll come back. I'm reading this one right now. I think I skipped a line on accident. وَوَضَعَ مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. He has humiliated or debased those who turn away. And so I was saying, like, subhanAllah, you see people who have completely, like, gone away from the fitrah, the natural way that God has written for us. And you see them with so much clout. But the way I look at it is that if I'm with a bunch of debased people, then I get honor by being the most debased amongst them. You know, like, you ever been in a class of, like, you ever been like, you know, like, if you have a group of friends who are, like, failing a class, then the best of you is, like, the one doing the least work. You feel me on that? Like, and the one with the best grades, everyone's like, teacher's pet, why are you trying to be all smart and stuff? You know, everybody fails that class. You're like, no, not me. Misery loves company, right? So think of it that way. If you were with a bunch of people, everybody failing that class, the one with the most clout is the one who does the least. But the one who's getting a C in that group of people getting Fs is like, oh, whatever. You think you're smart or something. So وَوَضَعَ مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. When Allah says he debases or humiliates the ones who turn away from him, then, you know, they may in their own groups be elevating that person, but you got to step back and look at the whole group. Like, do you see yourselves? Do you see where you're standing? Do you see your actions? Do you see your lifestyle? Do you see the whole big picture? Step away and look at what you're doing, and perhaps you'll get some clarity. SubhanAllah, man. And he says, the one who acts upon his orders, wa amana bi mutashabihatihi, and the one who mutashabihat is a what does this word mean, right? Mutashabihat are things that are ambiguous or not clear or difficult to understand in the Quran. So those who believe and the allegorical or the things that are mutashabih, the word mutashabih comes from shubh, which means to look like something else. Shib, it resembles something else. So it's things that we don't really know what they are, but we believe in it. For example, like, you know, the Quran says yadullah, the hand of Allah. Like, we can't understand, how does Allah have a hand? We can't understand that. Like, intellectually, we can't understand. It doesn't process, right? But what do to that? We believe in it. That's it. We don't try to understand it. We just believe in it. Fi maraqi as-sa'adat daraja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates this person in the stages of felicity, level by level by level by level by level. So the one who does all these things, make the halal halal, make the haram haram, act upon the rulings, believe in what can't be understood, Allah just elevates that person, elevates that person, elevates that person. SubhanAllah. وَوَضَعَ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala debases, humiliates the one who turns away. وَلَمْ يَرْفَعْ بِهِ رَأْسًا, and Allah doesn't even raise his head to that person. وَنَبَذَهُ وَرَأَ ظَهْرِهِ, he throws him behind his back. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَإِبْتَغَى الْهُدَى مِنْ غَيْرِهِ, the one who seeks guidance in other than Allah. وَجَعَلَهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places this person فِي دَرَكَاتِ الْجَحِيمِ مُتَوَلِّجًا, makes this person like falling down the levels of hellfire. فَإِنَّهُ أَذِكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ, indeed the Quran is the noble reminder. Yo, seriously, man, we gotta up our Quran game. Like, seriously, brothers and sisters, like, we really gotta up our Quran game. And that means, you know, Ramadan is over now, what, 2 months almost? So like, that connection with the Quran has kind of like died out for a lot of people, na'udhu billah. So we really gotta up that Quran game, which is just that connection, man, just that connection with it. Like, Allah give us tawfiq. وصراط المستقيم, indeed it is the straight path. ونبل عظيم, it is the great news. You know the you know Naba'a means like news, like the information, something that it has occurred, you're being informed about, right? It also mean event, like the great event, something like that as well. But here, you know, subhanAllah, we're always on like Twitter and different places trying to find the newest news, what's the latest news. It's a huwa naba'ul azim, it's the greatest news. Wa habalallahu al-mateen, it is the rope of Allah that is strong, al-madid, long, baynahu wa bayna khalqihi, it's stretched out between him and his creation. Wa ahadahu alladhi man istamsaka bihi faza wa najat, and he has pledged or promised to the one who grabs on to this rope, grabs onto it, he has promised that person faz, success, wa najat. Wa ashhadu. Now, this is another thing. So whenever we read classical books, so the book has started. So if, like, say this is your first classical text you're reading, like when we read like a regular book, right? We read a regular book, like it never has this type of introduction. When you read classical works and even contemporary Islamic works, they always begin, the whole first thing that we just all read was all praise to Allah. So like, but what's so deep and the brilliance of these scholars is they didn't just say Alhamdulillah, Bismillah. They did praise in Allah. They praised Allah in accordance to what the topic of the book is actually about. It's absolutely amazing. Like, subhanAllah. Then he goes to the next thing. These next two paragraphs are his shahada. He wants you to know that I'm a believer. I'm writing this book from the perspective of a believer. So like my framework is this. I'm starting the book letting you know. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This is so interesting because, yo, in a lot of academic work, obviously the idea is to have this kind of real clear objectivity, right? So like the reader doesn't know anything about you. And what's so interesting is if you read classical works, they always begin by like, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that I believe in Allah. So it's like, all right, your objectivity is gone. According to contemporary academic standards, like, yeah, he's a Muslim. Everything he says now is going to be looked from the perspective of a Muslim. Yeah, so what? Of course, he's writing it for us. So I think it's very interesting that, you know, subhanAllah, the objectivity is thrown out the door right here. Like, he's letting you know his worldview right here. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wala summiya lah. There is none that has a name like Allah. Wala kufwan lahu. He has no kufu. He has no none that are like him. Wala sahiba lahu. He has no companion, wife. Wala waladala. He has no children. Wala shabiha lah. He has nothing like him. Wala yuhsa ahadan thina'an alayh. None can completely count the praises upon him. Allahu Akbar. Bal huwa kama athna ala nafsihi. Rather, he is as he praised himself. Fawqa ma yuthni alayhi khalquhu. He is above all that his creation has praised him. Shahadata man asbaha. Yo, you know what I love about this? Like, if someone was to stop you in the street and be like, yo, tell me about Allah. Like, how much could you say? Like, how long could you go on for? If someone's like, yo, just tell me about Allah. Just tell me about Allah. Allah is one. Allah is magnificent. Allah has created these trees. You see these leaves blowing, not one leaf blows except that Allah knows. You see this rain falling, not one drop. Like, how long could you go talking about Allah? And look what he's doing here. It's subhanAllah. Shahadata man asbaha qalbuhu bil iman billah wa asma'ihi wa safati mubtahijan. He says, I give a shahada of someone who woke up this morning and their heart is shining. He's talking about himself. He's like, the heart is shining with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his names. وَلَمْ يَزِغْ عَنْهُ إِلَىٰ شَبْهِ الْحَجَاهِدِينَ الْمُعَطِّلِينَ أَفْوَانَ مُعَرِّجًا مُعَطِّلِينَ. So I got to explain something. The context that he lived in. So as I explained, the last 15 years of Ibn Taymiyyah's life, rahimahullah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, the author of this book, spent it with him. They were in a time when philosophy and all of these, like, there was a lot of mutakallimin. So mutakallimin was a category of Muslims who, they weren't necessarily really bad people, we would say. But what I would say is they were, you know, in our terms, I would say they were super woke people. They were people who knew all of the latest discussions in philosophy, right? They knew all of the latest works of, you know, Aristotle. They knew all of the latest stuff because a lot of things had been translated over the last decades and centuries. And so now that was common knowledge. And the Mutakallimin, they started to go into Islamic religion and kind of answer philosophical questions from the lens of Islam. Now, the good that they did was they gave us amazing work and kind of pushing against objections that came from philosophers. But the bad thing is, like, it went too deep sometimes. It's like, can we do something? Can we actually, like, get to work? Can we pray? Can we read Quran? Can we, or are we just going to focus on this only? So, walam yazir anhu, he's talking about his own heart. He says, and a person whose heart has not been distracted by the doubts of the objectors and the doubts of those who are sitting idly. Mu'arrijan, my heart has not gone off track due to these people. So he's like, I'm dealing with the philosophers and the mutakallimin. I'm dealing with these people, but my heart is just straight on the straight path. I'm not even getting caught in all this. Wallahu a'lam. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And again, he's like, all right, next thing I want to tell you is I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. خيرته من خلقه. He is the choice, the one chosen from his entire creation. And he is the one who has been trusted with his revelation. And he is his messenger between him and his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a mercy to the universe and as a guide for Amilin, those who do actions, those who do work. And he has become a proof for those who are traversing the path. Wahujatan, and he is a proof over all of servants of God. What does that mean as a proof? So on the last Hajjatul Wida, the Prophet in front of all the Sahaba, he's like, did I give you the message in front of everyone? And they're like, yeah, you did. And the Prophet, this is an amazing moment from Sira. It's so powerful, yo. The Prophet, وسلم, he asked, there's hundreds of thousands of people gathered. You know, they can all hear his voice. That was another miracle of Hajjatul Wida. So he's speaking to them and he's like, did I give you all the message? Did I give it to you? And everybody's like, now they don't know, but he's going to die soon. Within the next few months, the Prophet وسلم, passes away. So he's like, did I give everyone the message? And they're all like, yeah. And then the Prophet points to the heavens and he's like, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, you be a witness. Oh Allah, you be a witness. Like I got proof. That's my proof right there. Ya Allah, you see that, right? You know, sometimes like, you know, you're trying to prove something to someone. You're like, you see that? You see that, right? You heard that, right? Similarly, walillahi al-mathalu al-a'la, the Prophet says, Allahumma ashhad. Ya Allah, you heard that, right? I gave them the message. So he's a proof against us because we got the message. And what does that mean? You can't come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and be like, I didn't know. I mean, if you're listening to me right now, you can't come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and be like, I didn't know. You knew. It's just about what you chose to do after you got the message. Now, there are some people who don't know. Right? And people have written articles about someone who never heard the message before, never had a chance. All right, there's a lot on that, right? But right now we're talking about those who read this, who hear this, who know this, right? It's beautiful. وَأَرْسَلَهُ عَلَى حِينِ فَتَرَةٍ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. And he sent him at a time when there was no prophet. So Jesus had already left, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Peace and blessings be upon him and our prophet. Jesus had already left 500-600 years. So he sent him at a time when there were no prophets. فَهَدَى بِهِ إِلَىٰ أَقْوَمِ الطُّرُقِ وَأَوْضَحَ السُّبُلِ. So Allah guided Muhammad to that most upright path in the clearest way. وَإِفْتَرَضَ عَلَىٰ الْعِبَادِ طَاعَتَهُ. And he has made it compulsory upon us, the servants, to obey the Prophet, to love the Prophet, to honor the Prophet, to venerate the Prophet, and to fulfill his rights. To fulfill his rights. وَسَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّتِهِ جَمِيعِ الطُّرَقِ. and he has blocked all the pathways to paradise. فَلَمْ يَفْتَحْ لِأَحَدٍ, and it won't, no one can get into paradise except through that pathway. Now, obviously, we know that means at this time, you know, at the time of Moses, the way to Jannah was through Moses, right? At the time of Jesus, the way to Jannah was through Jesus, right? عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. But right now, we live in the prophethood of the last prophet, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that's our gateway. That's our door. That's how we walk. That's the way we go. Otherwise, you have to find your own path. And he's going to say that right now. فَشَرَحَ لَهُ صَدَرَ. He expanded the chest of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ ذِكْرَ. And he honored, he lifted up his mention. Like, subhanAllah, man, you go anywhere in the earth and Muhammad is a known name. You know what I mean? Muhammad, the name Muhammad is known. The name is elevated. وَوَضَعَ عَنْهُ وَزَرَ. Wizra, and he took the burden away from him. وَجَعَلَ الذِّلَّ وَالصِّغَارَ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرَهُ. And he made disgrace and humility to be humiliated upon the one who goes against him. فَهَدَى بِهِ مِنَ الضَّلَالَةِ. He guided him from misguidance. وَعَلَّمَ بِهِ مِنَ الْجَهَالَةِ. And he taught him out of ignorance. وَكَثَرَ بِهِ بَعْدِ الْقِلَّةِ. And he gave him abundance after very little. وَعَزَّ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْذِلَّةِ. And he gave him honor after being disgraced. I mean, if you look at the early years of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, man, it was tough. But you look at the final years and subhanAllah. وَأَغْنَى بِهِ بَعْدِ الْعَيْلَةِ. He gave him, he enriched him. He gave him richness after poverty. وَبَصَّرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْعَمَى. And he gave him sight from blindness. وَأَرْشَدَ بِهِ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. And he guided him from misguidance. وَفَتَحَ بِرِسَالَتِهِ. Now here's the point. بِرِسَالَتِهِ. But, and he opened through the Prophet's message blind eyes, deaf ears, and sealed hearts. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Let me say that again because that's heavy. And he opened through the message of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم eyes that were blind, ears that were deaf, and hearts that were sealed. فَبَلَّغَ رِسَالَةً. The Prophet gave the message. وَأَدَّ الْأَمَانَةِ. He fulfilled the trust. وَنَصَحَ الْأُمَّةِ. He gave good advice to the ummah, to us. وَجَاهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادًا. And he struggled in the path of God as was due. وَعَبَدَ اللَّهَ حَتَّى أَتَاهُ الْيَقِينِ. And he worshipped Allah until death came. The word for death here is yaqeen. He worshipped Allah until certainty came. But certainty can be translated as death. He worshipped Allah until, because that's the only thing certain in life, right? فَلَمْ يَدَعْ خَيْرًا إِلَّا دَلَّ أُمَّةً. He did not leave any good except that he guided his people to it, me and you. وَلَا شَرًّا. And there's no evil except that he warned us from it, yo. وَنَهَا عَنْ سُلُوكِ الطَّرِيقِ الْمُوصَلَ إِلَيْهِ. وَنَهَا عَنْ سُلُوكِ الطَّرِيقِ الْمُوصَلَ إِلَيْهِ. فَفَتَحَ الْقُلُوبِ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. وَجَاهَدَ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ بِالْيَدِ وَالْقَلْبِ. Wal-lisan. And he says that he opened, he prevented. وَلَا شَرًّا إِلَّا حَضَرَ مِنْهُ. وَنَهَا. There is no evil except that he warned us from it. وَنَهَا عَنْ سُلُوكِ الطَّرِيقِ. And he prohibited or stopped people from going down the pathway leading to evil. This is important, guys, because, you know, So sometimes, you know, like some of the rulings in Islam, you got to understand, like the rulings of Islam are a mercy, man, because sometimes there's things ahead of you, you don't see them coming, and you start going down that pathway. And as you get down the pathway, then it's too late. And so what he's talking about right now is like the Prophet said some like closed the road off, man. It's like, yeah, you can't, that road is closed because the where that road is going. And you may be like, nah, that road is I ain't going to go all the way. I'm just going to go to here. And the prophet's like, nah, don't go down that road. And you're like, nah, I'm good. I won't go all the way. I'm going to stop halfway. And he's like, no, you won't. He's like, yeah, I will. And then you see what happens. فَفَتَى الْقُلُوبِ الْإِيمَانِ. The prophet opened up the hearts of people with faith. وَالْقُرْآنِ وَجَاهَدَ. And he strove against the enemies of God. بِالْيَدْ وَالْقَلْبِ وَاللِّسَانِ. You see, you got to understand, when we talk about enemies of Allah, you know, some people are enemies of Allah and they don't realize why they hate Allah. It's called mesotheism, right? Mesotheism is like, it's like shaitan. Shaitan isn't an atheist. Shaitan believes in God. I mean, he worshiped him. He knows God. Shaitan is a mesotheist. He hates God. There's a difference between the two. And some people, their lives have been difficult. They can't understand certain things. They've had things happen to them. And for them, sometimes they build this hatred and animosity towards God. And our job is to help them open that heart up. But sometimes it's so sealed that it's like, nah, I'm striving against God. And so on, early on that process, you can like help a person get out of that. But sometimes, man, it's just someone gets so deep in it that that's it, man. That's it. All right, I'm gonna go to this next paragraph, because amma ba'd, the word amma ba'd is like, this is where authors start. So like everything we read up till now for the last 45 minutes was Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah's introduction to this book, but just the introduction to the introduction, if you know what I mean. Like he was just praising Allah and telling you he believes in Allah. That was the whole summary, basically. But he did it in the most eloquent way. I mean, subhanAllah, right? It's amazing. From this point on, he's kind of like literally introducing his book. Yeah, he's literally like introducing his book. And inshallah, we'll get to why he named the book The Two Migrations. So let's read, inshallah. Okay. Amma ba'd. Amma ba'd means like thereafter, to proceed, to proceed. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَ غَرَسَ شَجَرَةَ مُحَبَّتِهِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ وَتَوْهِيدِهِ فِي قُلُوبِ مَنْ اَقْتَارَ مِنْ بَرِيَّتِهِ وَاخْتَصَهُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ وَفَضَّلَهُمْ عَلَى سَائِرِ خَلِيقَتِهِ. It's beautiful Arabic, by the way. He says, to proceed. Indeed, Allah has planted the tree of love of God, recognition of God, unicity. Unicity means like to see him as one, the unicity of God in the hearts of those of his creation that he has selected. And he has chosen them for his blessing and given them preference over the rest of his creation. What he's trying to say right now is that if you love Allah, if you know Allah, if you know Allah is one, you're a chosen person. Kashajra, and then he says, Fahiyah, this tree of love, this tree of recognition, gnosis, or this tree of unicity. Kashajratin tayyibatin, asluha thabitun, wa far'uha fissama. This is a verse of the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, verse 24 and 25. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is like a good tree whose roots are firm and branches are high in the sky. It gives fruit. It gives fruit throughout the year by the permission of Allah. He says, كَذَلِكَ, like this, or thus, or similar to this, شَجْرَةُ الْإِيمَانِ, the tree of faith. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتْ فِي الْقَلْبِ, the roots are firmly embedded into the heart. Just picture a heart, and these roots are just, you know, subhanAllah, you know, roots, man. Yo, I've been doing a lot of gardening lately, so y'all gonna have to forgive me, because we just talked about trees. So I'm about to go in on trees for a moment, okay? If you got to get a green thumb. I'm telling you, yo, if you start gardening, man, like a whole different world of truths like opens up to you. Yo, seriously, like you plant the seed in the ground and the seed is like dead. It's like it's nothing. It has no life. But then you plant it and you put this water on it. And all of a sudden, just this energy comes. Where did it come from? Like, where? I know I sound weird right now. I know many of you are like, did you just get on this planet? I know it sounds weird, but it's amazing. It's not like, don't make it normal is what I'm trying to say. That is amazing. Something dead. It's just sitting there. You know, subhanAllah, I read something. I was reading on dormant seeds, right? How long can a seed be dormant for, right? And I don't know if it's true, but I read this study that was like the oldest seed that was germinated was like 500 years old. The oldest seed germinated. That means somehow they got a seed that was 500 years old. Don't ask me how. I don't know. I didn't do the study. They planted it and it sprouted. So whoa, whoa, whoa. Your word, the word dormant just means dead. It was 500 years. It was had no life. But then it was planted, water was put on it, and it grew. So I know it sounds like, yeah, that's called germination. Yes, but that is a miracle of Allah. That is a sign right there that Allah tells you to think about. So anyways, back to this example. He says, this is the same example of the tree of faith. أصلها ثابت في القلب, that the roots of it just become really, really deep into the heart. Deep into the heart. فروعها من كلام الطيب والعمل الصالح في السماء. The branches of this tree, which are good words and good actions, are high into the heavens. فلا تزال هذه الشجرة تخرج ثمرها كل وقت. This tree continues to give fruit all the time by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good fruit such as good words, good actions that will bring مما تقرب به أعين صاحب الأصل. That which will bring coolness to the eyes of the one who possesses these roots, has these roots. وَأُيُونَ حَفَظَتِهِ, and the eyes, it will bring coolness to the eyes that of the angels that are protecting this person. The angels see you doing these righteous things and they get coolness or pleasure from what you're doing. وَأُيُونِ أَهْلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَمَنْ قَرُبَ مِنْهُ, and the eyes of those of his family and his companions and those people around you. فَإِنَّ مَنْ قَرَّتْ أَعْيُنُهُ بِاللَّهِ قَرَّتْ بِهِ كُلُّ عَيْنِ, the one who their pleasure, satisfaction, the Arabic word here, guys, is قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن. And in the Arabic translation, literal, would mean coolness of the eyes. And the concept is like when you see something pleasing to you, you know, you see your mother smile, you see, you know, your children playing, you see something that just brings peace to your heart, but you see it, right? So it brings a coolness to you. That's what it's saying. And so he says, the one whose eyes are cooled by Allah, meaning I'm happy, I'm pleased with Allah, all other eyes will get coolness by watching you. وَأَنِسَ بِهِ كُلَّ مُسْتَوْحَشِ, every confused person, every lost person will find solace and comfort in you. وَطَابَ بِهِ كُلُّ خَبِيثِ, and everything that is disgusting becomes good. You know, when you know, the world is not yellow. The world is yellow to the jaundiced eye. The world is yellow to the jaundiced eye. Yo, do y'all feel what I'm saying? Like, when the tree is rotten, when the tree is spoiled, then everything you see is ugly. Everything you see is negative. Everything, subhanAllah, yo, some people, man, May Allah guide them, man. They wake up, the whole day is just negativity, man. Like from the moment you roll out of the bed, and normally I bet you they didn't wake up reading the dua, man. From the moment you wake up, it's just negativity. And no matter what anyone says, you can see the most beautiful things. It's just like, yeah, but so what? I mean, like, did you see this? Did you see that? But subhanAllah. So the world is yellow to the jaundiced eye. وَطَابَ بِهِ كُلُّ خَبِيثٍ. And every wretched thing becomes beautiful. You know, I shared something back in the day that was narrated. Where did I read this? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Yo, I believe, wallahu a'lam, I read this in one of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi's other works, where no, Imam Sha'arani, in his Adab al-Suhba, he said that one of the rights of one brother on another brother is that they only see good in the person. They only see good, subhanAllah. So then he narrated a tradition from Jesus, that Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam was once walking with the Hawariyin, with the disciples, and they passed by a donkey that was on the side of the road, decomposed, and like it was dead for some time, and flies are on it, and it just stinks. And so all of the Hawariyun, they're like covering up their faces, you know what I'm saying, COVID style, you know, covering up their faces, trying to walk past really fast. And Jesus, he stops everybody, and they're like, yo, this stinks. And Jesus says, but look how white its teeth are. Look how white the teeth are. Like all they could see was the decomposed, the bad smell, and all he could see was the beauty that still remained. وَطَابَ بِهِ كُلُّ خَبِيثٍ. Anyone, when these roots get deep into the heart, subhanAllah, man, every khabith, man, every wretched, foul thing, you begin to be able to still see beauty. وَفَرِحَ بِهِ كُلَّ حَزِينٍ. And every person who is saddened becomes, bring joy is brought through you. وَأَمِنَ بِهِ كُلَّ خَائِفٍ. Everyone in fear gets security. وَشَهِدَ بِهِ كُلَّ غَائِبٍ. وَذَكَّرَتْ رُؤْيَتُهُ بِاللَّهِ. When people see this person, they remember Allah. فَإِذَا رُؤْيَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. When they are seen, Allah is remembered. So let me talk about this real quick, yo. You know, we talk about having good company, having good people around you. Man, subhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ has given us a good criterion. The narration that I remember is that the person, I'm paraphrasing, the person that you want around you is the one who their actions remind you of the akhirah. Like when they do something, it reminds you of the akhirah. Their speech increases you in knowledge. And when you see them, you remember Allah. You know, there's some people you see, you only remember dunya, yo. Yo, straight up. There's some people you only remember dunya when you see them. And there's other people, subhanAllah, man. You see them, you like, astaghfirullah. Well, subhanAllah. You see them and you're like, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. I see where some people thinking. I know where y'all mind is at right now, so I ain't even gonna go that way with you. All right, listen, on Instagram, you know, there's a time limit. We only have an hour and 30. We only have an hour for the session, so that means we literally have a minute and 30 seconds left, inshallah. And I think we've done enough for today, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm going to put a line in the text here, and we're going to pick up from this point in our next session. In our next session, we'll actually get to why he called it the two migrations, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, if you guys have any questions, you know, you could direct message me. I'll try my best to answer questions as I can, inshallah. Yo, I hope this was beneficial for everyone. I mean, reading these works, man, reading these books of these scholars, man, it's a blessing to be able to have these with us, you know, and there's just so many gems in these works of literature that will give life to dead hearts, and that's what we need. So every Wednesday, join me 7:30 Central Standard Time, so we can continue to go through this work, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining me. And this is the beginning of the journey, a book that describes the journey of life and spirituality. May Allah bless everyone. Jazakumullahu khaira wa ahsana jaza, inshaAllah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.